This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoen.
For this first broadcast of the year 2008, listen to these three verses from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 29 to 31. It surely teaches what should be our resolve in life, if we would be wise, also for this new year, and if we are true Christians, certainly. Paul, the inspired apostle, writes that no flesh should glory in his, meaning in God's presence, but of him, that is God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. From this text passage, we have as our theme now, let God be all your boast. We are told about Paul coming to the city of Corinth in Acts 18, verse 1 to 17. It was a city of high culture, which prided itself in great places of learning and great pagan religious temples. It was also a city of grievous immorality and corruption. According to Acts 18:10, when Paul came to this city, he heard from the Lord by a special vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." After a year and a half of ministry there, how the work was blessed too, with sinners being saved through the gospel message, as the word was proclaimed, not, as Paul says in chapter 2, with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So the church of Corinth began and flourished under Paul's ministry. Later, however, after Paul had left and on his third missionary journey, he hears some sad reports about the situation in the church of Corinth. The church became plagued with strife and division, and there were members living in open sin, and there was confusion and wrong focus on different key matters related to the Christian faith. Paul, while in Ephesus, writes the letters to the church of Corinth to deal with the many problems they were facing. One key problem, and without question the one fundamental problem to all errors and troubles in the Christian life and the Christian church, is failure to understand what is all important always, that all our boast be in the Lord God triune and his gospel of grace through Jesus Christ, the once crucified and now risen and exalted Savior. In the opening chapter, then, Paul so stresses this point. After the introduction in the verses 10 to 17, Paul laments all the division and strife in the church of Corinth, stressing how foolish it is to glory in any person of this world, also any church leader, as they were doing. Paul brings out then, in the verses 18 to 25, how the gospel message of Jesus Christ and him crucified is infinitely greater than the highest wisdom of any person, and more powerful by far than all the might and glamour of any or all human beings. The preaching of the cross may be and is a stumbling block, an offense to the Jews, and to the Greeks it is foolishness apart from the Spirit's enlightenment. Yet, says Paul, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God to all the called, redeemed by God's grace through the gospel, by the Holy Spirit's effectual saving power. In the verses 26 and following, Paul gives still more reason not to be boasting surely in something of ourselves. He brings out in these verses, who are the called and truly saved in God's church? It is not the people highly esteemed by this world and who esteem themselves so much, the rich and the scholarly and famous and the self-righteous, though some of them too surely are saved by God's grace, but then as poor and needy sinners. But Paul brings out the church's makeup is by far with simple and lowly people, the common person, and even the despised of this world. They make up the church. In the early church, many came to faith who were from among the slaves and the lower classes of society. The point Paul here is making, let no one be boasting about something of ourselves in the Christian church. For who are we as people in and of ourselves? What are you but for the grace of God? And what do you have that you did not first of all receive, even undeservedly so, always? Here we come then more specifically to our text, the verses 29 to 31. Let us glory in the Lord. That's the theme. Not boasting in anything of ourselves, verse 29. But rather boasting in everything of Christ, verse 30. And as it is written, boasting always of God, yes, of God triune, of whom and through whom and to whom are all things, verse 31. Let us reflect on these three points some more. Do you understand, dear listener, what Paul was aiming for with the Christian congregation of Corinth, that they should get and grasp deep in their minds and hearts, that no flesh should glory in his presence? What Paul means here is that there is no reason ever to glory in or to boast about anything of the natural man, anything of ourselves or about ourselves, about anyone at all. Of ourselves we can do nothing right and pleasing to the Lord, nothing that is acceptable to God. Indeed, the fact is, of ourselves, you and I only always do things that are unacceptable to God and most offensive to him, if you think to gain God's acceptance and favor through your works somehow. No, our best works are stained with so much sin still that it can only leave God, the most holy God, aghast and angry with us. Before the righteous and holy God, there's none righteous. No, not one, Paul writes. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Exclaims the psalmist in Psalm 130. How can anyone boast of anything then before the Lord? Also in salvation and in being saved, Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and following, in those well-known words, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, that is, boast of his own achievements or contribution, somehow, in the way of being saved, and in the life as a saved person. Before God and others, there is no room for any boasting about ourselves regarding anything ever, especially in relation to God. Rather, there's every reason, time and again, to be so ashamed of ourselves for all our sins and sinfulness left to ourselves. This is God's word, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What we need to learn from the word is that we can only come empty-handed to the Lord, crying for his mercy and grace in our lives, time and time again. Have you learned this? And do you continue to learn this and confess this truth as being true for you too? From the Corinthian church we learn how easy it is to forget this humbling truth, how quickly we can become shamefully sidetracked from this bottom line all-time reality. But a true and healthy Christian is one who keeps not losing sight of this most humbling truth, that no flesh should glory in his, that is, in God's presence. Is this a truth you understand in your heart and life before God and others? There is more to the gospel, of course. Paul goes on to show us the purpose of driving home there is no room for self-glory and vain boasting of anything of ourselves, our sinful selves, is to have us in truth look to Jesus Christ, the Savior, and to find our all in all, always with him. Let us not boast in anything of ourselves, but be caught up in truly and always boasting in Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. In verse 30, notice the great things Paul says about the Savior, Christ Jesus. He of God, that is, as gift of God, in his mercy and love to this fallen, cursed world, is sent and given for what? To be unto us, says Paul, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, how much is contained in these four words. Here are infinities and immensities of gospel truth that are staggering and telling of a Savior mighty to save indeed. The wisdom here refers to the wisdom of God as revealed in the cross of Christ and all its benefits. Paul writes in Colossians 2, verse 3, that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The righteousness here refers to the righteousness of God for us, as obtained by Christ Jesus, his imputed righteousness through his perfect life and his once-for-all sacrifice in payment for sin, not his own. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, in urging reconciliation with God, for he, that is, God, hath made him, that is, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the great gospel of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any works on our part, concerning which Paul writes when speaking about it in Romans 3 in verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded, he says. No one can be saved except by God's sheer mercy and grace for Jesus' sake alone, trusting in him. This is the gospel message. Christ Jesus is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and, Paul goes on, sanctification, our moral cleansing and life of holiness and good works. That too comes to us from God in and through Christ Jesus. The life of sanctification can only exist and grow as we abide in Christ Jesus and his Spirit and Word abides in us. Jesus says in John 15, apart from him we can do nothing, but joined to him we bear much fruit. Paul states further, in Christ Jesus is redemption for us, meaning the full rescue and deliverance from sin, not only initially, but ultimately and finally, and always through the purchase price of Jesus' shed blood on sinners' behalf. How much there is to glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, that all would repent of sin and trust in him who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What endless treasures of salvation are found in and with the Savior Jesus Christ. What reasons to pray for the Holy Spirit to bless his word also now even, that many may come to the Savior to receive out of his fullness freely and abundantly and continually. Do you desire this too? And is it your prayer and care so to know Jesus Christ the Lord? Will the result then not also be, as Paul puts it in the last verse, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord? Yes, this is the great purpose and result of truly knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you live praising God for all his mercies and benefits in and through the Savior Jesus Christ. God triune then becomes all your boast, the God of true salvation from sin. Paul quotes from Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, in calling for all boasting in God alone. Jeremiah says there in God's name, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Will you this year resolve, living by God's holy word and precious gospel, not to glory in the flesh ever, but to glory in God as revealed in Christ Jesus always, and yes, to live in praises and boasting about him as revealed in all the Scriptures, to whom be all the glory, now and forever. For a blessed new year 2008, will you remember the last three verses of 1 Corinthians 1? As a certain song puts it, based on Psalm 108, may this be your confession too, and your resolve. God's word shall surely stand. His name through every land shall be adored. Lord, who shall lead our host? Thy aid we covet most. In thee is all our boast, strong in the Lord. Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. Postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the Internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.